Now let's get to the lesson. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever served on a jury? We're going to do that this morning. We need to make this instead of look like a church building, we need to make it look like it's a courtroom or something. Yes, this might help and everything. There's a judge, and he's not visible here today, but we need to set this room up so that it looks sort of like a courtroom, because we're going to have some people come and sit in this chair, and we're going to have a trial today, and you have received your subpoena. And that's why you're here. You may not be aware of this, but at the end of this lesson today, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you must make a decision. This is not something we're going to play at. This is dead serious. We're going to put somebody on trial, and every person at the end of this lesson today will be forced to make a decision. And so you're on the jury, whether you know it or not, and there'll be a decision that you'll have to make. Because you see, a life is at stake. Because we're going to put Jesus of Nazareth on trial. And I'm telling you, consequences. If you find him not to be the Son of God, that's blasphemy, because that's exactly what he's been saying, that I am the Son of God. And the very life of this man, Jesus, will be determined by the decision, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that you make this day. That's important. Now, there's another aspect of that, and that is your life may be at stake. I want you to let that sink in. It's not just the life of this man of Nazareth. It's the life of every person that is here, because that scripture reading, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the last question that was in that scripture reading, who do you say that I am? And if Jesus is a liar, and if he's not the Son of God, then by the courts of Judaism, he'll be put to death. He's a blasphemer. But if he is the Son of God, and you choose to ignore the evidence that there is the Son of God, the judge of all mankind, will find you guilty, and your life will be at stake. So turn off your cell phones and let's get serious. Let's be serious about this. And so I'm not sure if I'm the prosecuting attorney. I'm not sure if I'm the defense attorney. I'm not sure exactly what role I occupy in this lesson. I sometimes feel like I'm on both sides of this. But could I show you my legal pad and show you the notes I have on my legal pad? There are just three things on it. One is the book of John, chapter 5, starting in verse 31 and going through verse 39. We're going to put this man on trial. You want to see my notes? Well, here they are. Those nine verses that are there in the book of John, and on the screen you see chapter 8 and verse 14. We'll mention why that is there in just a moment. I've got a second thing on my notepad, and that is John chapter 15, the last two verses of John chapter 15, verse 26 and verse 27. That's on my notepad. And then on my notepad, in my legal brief, as I've laid out, I'm going to, at the end of this lesson, ask you and call for the jury to be honest. That's it. Let's put him on trial. The first person that I want to ask to come, and I've got to borrow your imaginations, I'm going to ask Jesus of Nazareth to come and sit in this chair. And I'm not sure what image you have of him. It's probably not an accurate image if you've relied upon the imagination of mankind. But there's a man that walks in that first century garb, and he comes and he sits in this chair. Sir, what is your name? My name is Jesus of Nazareth. Sir, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I've heard that that place is not really... Yeah, and you're from Nazareth. Well, I've lived in other places, he says. Well, where have you lived? Well, he says, right now, I'm living in Capernaum. And I did. I sort of grew up in Nazareth. And I lived in Egypt. And I lived in Bethlehem. Sir, is that all the places you've lived? No, he says, I've lived in heaven. Whoa! You have lived where? I thought you said you were from Nazareth. You've lived in heaven? I was there in the beginning with God. Before Abraham was, I am. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you hear the claim this man has made. Now in verse 31 he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Because you see, you've got to establish everything at the mouth of two or three witnesses. And just because somebody claims to be something doesn't mean that he's that. But in John chapter 8 verse 14, Jesus says, I know where I came from. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the jury, here's a decision that you've got to make about this man of Jesus. This man could be a liar. He could have some agenda, some hidden agenda. And I want you to be honest in your evaluation of it. Does this man have some hidden agenda? Is he like some charlatan in our own day or some individual who has some scheme to become famous and notorious in some way or another? Is he lying? You know, he could be crazy. This man could be insane. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, when you go and do make your deliberation about this man, you've got to decide, is he lying or is he a lunatic? That's a decision that you've got to make. Because there's a third alternative, and you may not want to approach this unless you're really honest and give sincere deliberation in relationship to this. If he's not lying and he's not a lunatic, then guess what? He's the Lord God Almighty. And in your deliberation about this man Jesus, when it comes time for you to make an honest decision, I want you to think, is this man lying? Is there evidence, any evidence that he's lying? Any evidence he's crazy? Because the only other alternative there is to say that he's a lunatic. Sir, you are dismissed. John the Baptist, would you come and sit in this chair? And a man clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt comes. Looks rather ragged by our own standards. He's lived in the wilderness of Judea. In fact, he's been preaching in the wilderness, saying, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But before I ask John the question, could I let you know a little bit about him? He had an unusual birth, at least that's what is being told. He was born to aged Zacharias and Elizabeth. And he's sent from God. And the amazing thing is, Matthew chapter 21 verse 26 says, everybody who knows this man believes that he is a prophet. I want you to hear that. A prophet is somebody who speaks for God. And here's this man, though he did no miracles, has had an impact on that first century world, and he's not, and he's a prophet. Everybody knows he's a prophet. And a prophet is someone who speaks for God. So when I ask this man his evaluation of Jesus, he's our second of our seven witnesses that we call to this chair today. I want you to understand, here's a man that speaks for God, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John the Baptist, what do you think about Jesus of Nazareth? And with perhaps a thunderous voice that would echo up those Judean hillsides, John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I want you to understand that a prophet of God, everybody knows he's a prophet. There's not a person in Judea that knows this man. All of the people consider him to be a prophet. Sir, are you sure he's a prophet? Are you sure he's the Lamb of God? John chapter 3 says, John says, before I ever came, knowing that I was coming as the forerunner of the Lamb of God, God gave me a sign by which I would know for sure who the Lamb of God was. John, what was that sign God gave to you? God gave me the sign that says, on whomever you see the Spirit of God descending and abiding upon him. John, did you ever see that? When I baptized Jesus, the heavens were open, and I saw in the form of something that looked like a dove, the Holy Spirit of God descend from heaven. That's a message from a prophet, somebody who speaks from God. Could there be any greater evidence? John 5, Jesus says, I've got an even greater evidence, and that is the works that I do, they bear witness of me. We could talk about his works and focus in on his message. We could talk about his demeanor as he was before the people. I'm talking about Jesus of Nazareth. But could we call some blind people to come and sit in this chair? And one of them says, I heard him spit, and he spat on the ground, and he moistened my eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And somebody led me away, and when I washed my eyes in the pool of Siloam, I could see, and there are the leopards that said, he touched me. And there's that father of that 12-year-old girl, Jairus, and there is that widow of Nain whose son was dead, and there's Mary and Martha. And guess what? Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he raised up the son of that widow of Nain. And he brought life into the lifeless body of the daughter of Jairus. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, when he lived on this earth, he was around a lot of blind people, but there never was one blind person that Jesus ever was around that did not walk away seeing. And there never was one crippled person, as far as the record goes, in whose presence he stood, who did not themselves walk away fully restored and cleanse all of the lepers and those who had other diseases of various kinds. And as far as the record was concerned, he never was in the presence of one single dead body that did not come alive. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you've got a decision to make. The witnesses continue to come forth. Is there another witness? John chapter 5. My Father bears witness of me. My Father bears witness of me. John the Baptist, you saw the Spirit of God. Did you hear anything? And I heard a voice from heaven that said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that was not the only occasion on which there was a voice that echoed out from heaven that says, this is my Son. Folks, that happened. A prophet of God. John the Baptist said, he was there, he heard it. Those who were with him in the Mount of Transfiguration could be called and say, and we heard those exact words, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. A voice out of heaven shook this earth and says, Jesus of Nazareth is, ladies and gentlemen, the jury, what do you think about him? There's a fifth witness. John 5, the scriptures, the Old Testament, for the New Testament had not yet been written. The Old Testament scriptures bear witness. How many Old Testament prophecies are there about Jesus? 332. Isaiah, what did you prophesy? He'll be born of a virgin. He'll be born in Bethlehem. He will be led as a sheep to the slaughter. He'll be silent in his trial. He'll make his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Elijah, you made all of those prophecies. Elijah, I want to ask you something. Is there one single prophecy you made about the coming of the Messiah that Jesus has not fulfilled? And call Jeremiah, and call Ezekiel and Daniel, and call all of those Old Testament prophets. Call Samuel, call David, call all of the Old Testament prophets and ask every single one of all of the prophets of the Old Testament of prophecies they made about the coming of the Messiah and ask them this question. Is there any prophecy that Jesus of Nazareth did not fulfill? And the answer is always the same. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if Jesus is not the Son of God, there's no way based on prophecy that we would even be able to discern the true Messiah when he comes. They're all taken care of. Witness number 6. The Spirit will testify of me. And you could talk about the miracles which Jesus did by the Spirit. You could talk about the miracles the Spirit did by the apostles who were proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah. But I want you to hear the very words chosen by the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly there's a sound from heavens of a rushing mighty wind. Fill all the house where they were sitting. And they began to speak in languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. That's not Peter's sermon in Acts 2. He didn't sit down and work up an outline. The Holy Spirit of God took over the mouth of all of those apostles that were there, and they proclaimed this message. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God is Jesus, the Son of God. Hear the testimony. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken and you've crucified. Therefore, Holy Spirit of God, listen. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Jesus you crucified, God has raised him up and made him the Lord and the Christ, the Messiah. At the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. What about the mouth of all three aspects of deity?
Jesus said he was the Son of God. The Father says, this is my Son. And the Holy Spirit of God says, he's the Messiah. And that threefold cord can never be broken. Witness number 7. The apostles. Oh, Peter, would you come and sit? Peter, what'd you say when you was warming yourself by that fire? You really believe he's the Son of God? Oh, yes. When on that occasion he said, who do you say that I am? It was Peter who spoke and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, this is not something that's originated in your own heart. These words that you speak, thou art the Son of God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And Peter said, I said those words and I wept bitterly. But let me tell you what happened just 2 months later. I stood in Jerusalem and I called on that nation to repent and to come back to God and be baptized in order that they might be reconciled to God. I was cast into prison, told not to preach. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, I was beaten and told never ever to speak anything about Jesus Christ again. And we look at secular history and we say, Peter, how did you die? And secular history says, I was crucified just like Jesus was, except I was not worthy to be crucified with my head being on the top of my body. They turned me upside down, showing how unworthy I felt. We know he died as a martyr. Matthew died as a martyr. Andrew, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, those men who were with him for those 3.5 years who heard him day after day, all of them with the exception of John whose life was extended, died the martyr's death before they would ever utter the words, Jesus is not the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there's the case that needs to be made. And it's up to you to make that decision. A life is at stake, and your eternal life may be at stake. Oh, wait a minute. Let me call one more witness. Would you come and sit in the chair? Would you come and sit in this chair? And your heart goes up into your throat as you stand up and you walk up knowing you're coming to this chair. And you know this is going to be the twofold question I ask you. You already know what it is. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And does your life show it? The blood of the martyrs is the evidence of the depth of the belief that they had, those who knew him best, that he was the Son of God. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? a life is at stake, and that life is yours. Who do you say Jesus is? If you don't believe He's the Messiah, you're lost. That's what He said. If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. He that believeth not shall be condemned. You need to repent. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 says, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one whom the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all bore witnesses to His deity, says, and if you don't repent, you'll die. You'll die and perish eternally. And how blessed it is that you with your own lips can confess what Peter confessed, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and then you can be buried with Him in baptism, reenacting His death and His burial and His resurrection. When you die to self and a man filled with sin is buried and washed in the blood of the Lamb and comes out, now one whom God could say of you as you leave the baptistry, and that is my child in whom I am well pleased. And God help us all to live faithfully until we die. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And does your life show it? This invitation song is a time for those who have sin in their lives, those who are not Christians, and those who are unfaithful Christians, to respond to this invitation. You must make a decision today. Who do you say that Jesus of Nazareth is? What change do you need to make to be right with God? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing, we'll help you change your life.